Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to our podcast on intelligent service management. We're here today to talk to Pete Russo, Senior VP of Product Strategy and Innovation. Pete has been with Decisive for 11 years and has been integral to shaping the direction of their Service Relationship Management Ecosystem, or SRM. Decisive has recently published a white paper that introduces intelligent service management, and we are looking forward to hearing and learning more about this initiative. So, Pete, welcome. Let's start with what you mean by intelligent service management.
Thanks, Bailey. And I'm very excited to talk about intelligent service management today. And it probably is a good idea just to quickly review what is service management. What do we mean by that and having services be managed? And then we can layer on what makes it intelligent on top of that. Ultimately, intelligent service management is the next level, the next generation of service management. To be managed, it has to include what we call the four C's of communication, connectivity, consistency, and control. And the Decisive Service Relationship Management Ecosystem provides that. It connects up the fleets with the service providers, with call centers, with manufacturers in an environment that they're able to collaborate, communicate, and ultimately provide service in a consistent manner and be able to control the service process. So, of course, that all generates a lot of data and a lot of intelligence. And basically, we're feeding that back into the process. It's a feedback loop to feed that intelligence that we've gathered from our 20 million plus service events to be able to provide a more predictive, more automated, more optimized service experience and service process.
So it sounds like a very logical path for the SRM ecosystem to take.
Absolutely. When we look at the evolution of SRM, you know, it really started out as a system of engagement, as I mentioned before, connecting the various people in the ecosystem together. And that system of engagement created a lot of data about the asset lifecycle management. So basically became a system of record about the asset service. And so now we layer on top of that, this system of intelligence, if you will, where we can take advantage of that data, the insights it produces, layer on artificial intelligence, machine learning, and then, as I mentioned before, feedback that intelligence to start automating processes, add prediction, and add, you know, more insight and forecasting that comes out of that. So it really is that, as you said, a logical next step.
So it seems like SRM provides a lot of data and feedback. Could you elaborate more on the value and benefit that will provide fleets?
So it certainly provides value for all of the members of the ecosystem. And focusing in on the fleets, ultimately, it's all about servicing their assets. So that is a good place to focus. If we look at, you know, some specific benefits for them, I mean, ultimately, it comes back to the basics. You know, how do we increase uptime, optimize the asset utilization, lower costs, improve efficiency, all of those kinds of things that have always been a goal of service management. So there are a lot of benefits for fleets. And of course, there are benefits for all of the stakeholders in the ecosystem. But we'll focus on the fleet since ultimately, the service is benefiting their assets. On top of that, we can bring in that intelligence that we talked about. So, for example, I want to know more about how I'm spending my repair and maintenance dollars. So we can bring in our automated VMRS encoding, for example, to provide the reporting standardization so that fleets can really understand that across their entire service network. Why is that important? VMRS has been around for many, many years, and it is an existing reporting standard. The challenge is getting all of the different service providers that fleets use to do that encoding of the labor operations and the parts. And so we're taking the burden off of the service provider and off of the fleet to take care of that encoding for them, again, using this intelligent service management, in particular, artificial intelligence and machine learning capabilities that it provides. So that's going to immediately provide a benefit to the fleet in having much better data quality around their cost of their assets. And then what does that lead to? Well, now they can forecast their costs a lot better based on the history of those operations, meter data about their assets, and things of that nature. So we can start combining not only the data that we have in intelligent SRM, as well as data that the fleet may have in their own systems. And we bring all that together. And then what does that lead to? Well, if I really understand what's happening with repair and maintenance of my operations, that can lead to predictive repair, which has been a promise in this industry for a long time. So how can I maximize my asset uptime by eliminating unexpected breakdowns or repairs between maintenance events? And there's lots of data we can now bring together to look at that. You know, we can look at, of course, the meter data, but the fault data and our historical analysis of repair and maintenance of that particular asset, as well as other assets in that class, you know, look at regional variations and other issues that may help with that prediction. And we can keep going from there. So I have more examples if you'd like, but that starts to scratch the surface on benefits to the fleets.
Definitely. And it sounds like some of those benefits might cross over, but could you give a few examples about the value to service providers with intelligent service management?
So on the service provider side, you know, a big emphasis is about their service process and making that more efficient. And that also ties back to, hey, I want to satisfy the fleet customer. And of course, that also means, hey, I want to reduce the dwell time of an asset at the dealership so that I can get that unit back into operation sooner. I also want to take advantage of the understanding I have of that fleet's behavior and preferences and things like that, so I can do a better job the next time that asset comes to my shop or it goes to one of my sister locations, or if this is a larger OEM service network, goes somewhere else. So all of those things put together really drive a lot of benefit for the service provider. So if I can be more specific with some specific examples, the same way I was with the fleet, a good example is the workflow status tracking that we can provide. So a service event flows through a number of steps from, hey, I check in the vehicle, then someone has to do a diagnosis, then I need to put together an estimate, then I need to wait for approval, then I need to get that unit into a bay with the right tech, the right tools, the right parts, then the repair is completed, and then it goes back into operation. Well, that's like if everything goes swimmingly, it'll flow like that. Well, there's many variations to that, and there's different bottlenecks in the process, and what we can do is map that out for a service provider so they can see how much time they're spending in each step and where there's anomalies. Like, okay, your diagnoses are starting to take longer and longer. What's causing that? Or this particular customer takes forever to authorize estimates. You know, what can you do about that? You know, and that again brings the intelligence into that service process. Similarly, building on that, if I understand my workflow and where the bottlenecks are, I can better forecast my resources, right? Whether that's parts inventory or it's my techs or it's bays, how can I manage those better to address those bottlenecks in that workflow status tracking? So I can apply intelligence to the process to forecast those resources. Also, I mean, there's lots of sources of information to help with the diagnosis. For example, I can connect to either tools, you know, of course, bringing in fault codes and things like that, but diagnostic tools, decision tree tools, tools that, again, apply artificial intelligence and machine learning to help predict diagnoses, predict what repairs ought to be. but then also close the loop on that. So it's not enough just to say, hey, here's what I think the diagnosis should be, and here's what I think the repair should be. Let's say I do that repair. Well, then I need to know, did that actually fix the problem? You know, so we maintain that history of the repair so we can know, well, did that unit come back somewhere else for the same problem? Well, then I know, well, that repair didn't actually work. So I can, the next time around, tune my diagnoses to come up with a better repair and predict a better repair. So closing that loop is super important for the whole intelligence part of this process to work. Those are all some examples from the service provider side and how those build off of each other.
Well, Pete, it sounds like the new levels of analytics and insights should also be of benefit to manufacturers and component suppliers. Would that be correct?
You know, they would love this level of data about what's happening, you know, out there in terms of repair and maintenance. So they don't have direct insight into that. And so getting this richness of this data and the intelligence associated with it will be hugely valuable to them. So those examples of, hey, if this repair fixed this fault code or not, you know, that really will help their engineering teams do a better job with, you know, recommending repair plans, recommending parts. The whole idea of forecasting inventory of parts would be huge for them to know where in the country they need to be staging parts based on different circumstances, weather patterns, you know, which fleets are passing through those lanes, all of those kinds of things. And then based on the history of repair data. So that's another example of that better intelligence about warranty and being able to offer new services that rely on, you know, more complex type of data, whether they want to start offering things like truck as a service or power by the hour. Having this type of rich data is going to help enable that. Or they may be wanting to provide dynamic warranty. And so for customers that are doing a better job of maintaining their assets, then they may get increased warranty, for example. Again, you need this rich level of data with intelligence on top of it to be able to provide and offer new kinds of services like that.
So when will the industry start to see these new products and services that are the result of this direction?
Great question. And the answer is the future is now. So we're rolling out the SRM Discovery family of products and services around intelligent SRM, which will begin to provide these capabilities. So some of the things I've talked about, like workflow status tracking, VMRS encoding, anomaly detection, and being able to have advanced analytics around this data, all of those are part of the initial offerings in SRM Discovery. And then we'll continue to build and add on from there, you know, more services built on, again, applying artificial intelligence, machine learning, advanced analytics, and so on. And then begin to start offering additional capabilities that start to automate the existing SRM family of products that we have today, like Case and Sentinel and Vision that we have. So watch this space, again, starting the remainder of this year, new products and services, and then rolling into next year, continuing to build on that.
Pete, thank you so much for giving us the scoop on intelligent service management and how it will drive more value, better information, and better insight into the entire service process for everyone in the SRM ecosystem. I'm especially interested in hearing more about Discovery post-launch. I would love to follow up and talk about Discovery in more detail. Thank you all for listening.